something else to worry about.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The violence in the Middle East is tossing yet another X factor into the global economic equation. For the third straight day, Israeli warplanes are attacking the Hamas-ruled Gaza Strip. Hamas is firing rockets deeper than ever into Israel. The death toll is already 300. The price of oil shot up today about $3 to $40 a barrel. Gold prices also rose as more uncertainty about currencies gripped the markets. The big drop in oil this year was certainly welcomed by most, but not Dow Chemical. Dow Chemical was supposed to close a deal this week with Kuwait, but last night Kuwait backed out. Marketplace's Steve Henn is following that story.
Dow executives have been scheming for years to move away from manufacturing low-margin commodities to making specialty chemicals. A big part of their plan was to purchase Rohm and Haas. But Rohm and Haas, which makes electronic coatings, isn't cheap, costing more than $15 billion. Earlier this month, Dow laid off thousands of employees, in part to free up cash to close the deal. And Dow has been hoping to use billions of dollars from selling a share of some of its chemical plants to Kuwait to finance the rest. But yesterday, the Kuwaitis called and said sorry. As oil and natural gas prices plummeted, the joint venture with Dow Chemical became less and less attractive. Without the Kuwaitis' cash, it's unclear how Dow will finance its future plans. And if Dow can't come up with something quick, it will have to pay Rohm and Haas a $750 million cancellation fee. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
It's astounding how much money people have lost in the U.S. stock market this year. $7 trillion. Good riddance, 2008. The Dow begins the final week at 85.15. It's down 40% for the year, the biggest drop since 1931. The NASDAQ is at 15.30, the S&P 500 at 8.72. Overseas today, though, some gains. This is the time we usually do year-in-review segments, looking back on the big stories in business and the economy. But this year, who really wants to rehash what happened? No, this week we're going to look forward.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
We begin our series of interviews with Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Alan, my first topic for you is the dollar. What do you expect to happen to the dollar in 2009?
I think the dollar is going to decline in terms of other currencies, or what I think they're calling real currencies. I think that's going to happen. I think that's an easy call.
And what kind of spillover will that have on the economy?
It'll have a certain good aspect because for most of the year, all sorts of export industries were waking up and doing much better. And people who manufactured things that competed with imports were doing much better because the dollar had become so cheap. That would be the positive thing. The negative thing is, I just don't see the low level of interest rates on Treasury securities in this country when the Treasury is going to borrow God only knows how much from the rest of the world. At some point, interest rates go up, but nothing I'd be willing to write a big check on.
Well, let's talk about the stock market for a minute. What do you plan to do with your money in 2009?
Well, since my retirement account starts up again, my 401k, I'm going to put all of that into the stock market unless something really awful happens. I wrote something fairly recently saying, gee, according to any number of people I respect, the U.S. stock market is at reasonable levels for the first time in decades, which doesn't mean it's going to go up, but I just don't think it could go down another 35%. At least I hope not, because if it does, man, I am going to be working until 10 years after I've died. That's going to be my retirement plan.
And how about the stimulus plans that President-elect Obama has sort of thrown out there? How much promise do you see in those?
I think, contrary to what many of my sources believe and my conservative friends, I think tax cuts generally don't do all that much, as we've seen over the past couple of years, where we've had some shots at one-time, you know, tax refunds, and the economy has a brief blip up, but then life resumes. It really depends on how these programs work, whether they're just sort of temporary things or whether they become a permanent jobs program, you know, like these temporary programs that hang around for 30 years. The one thing we really need from the Obama people is a sense that someone is in control and that there is an end to this. Because that's what's been lacking up to now because of the dynamics of Washington and the fact this is happening so close to a change in administrations.
Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you and to our audience, sir.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant-making, employee giving, and volunteerism. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at medtronic.com.
You know what went on the air 40 years ago today?
Hi there, would you like to sing a song with us?
Mana Mana.
Isn't that the name of a song?
I think so.
Mana Mana.
Mana Mana?
Sesame Street is not only the longest-running children's TV show, but its toys are still big sellers, even in this economy. Marketplace's Sam Eaton explains why Sesame Street does well, even when the economy turns sour.
Sunny day, sweeping the clouds away.
In the fleeting world of It toys, brands come and go, and that's what makes Sesame Street's four-decade run so remarkable. Chris Byrne is an independent toy industry analyst.
My brothers and I still quote Sesame Street stuff to one another, and we're way out of the target age. So it has that kind of impact generationally now that it becomes an integral part of childhood and shared experience.
Translation, sales. Even during a recession, Byrne says penny-pinching shoppers are more likely to choose well-known brands. And as holiday toy sales are expected to drop slightly this year, Sesame Street's $60 Elmo Live sold out in many stores. Byrne says Sesame Street's secret has been its avoidance of what's called label slapping, where brands are pasted onto any product willing to pay a licensing fee. Instead, he says Sesame Street is intimately involved in every toy that bears its name, and has paid off. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.